So we'll start the ninth chapter. It's called The Royal Secret. Ath navamodhyayah Shri Bhagavan uvacha Idam tute guhyatamam Pravakshyamyan suyave Jnanam vijnana sahitam Yajnatva moksha se shubhat. We'll start this ninth chapter, which is called The Royal Secret. And he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvach. Shri Bhagavan means the Lord himself, Uvach, spoke. Idam tute guhyatamam. Idam means this knowledge that what I am going to tell you. Tu means indeed. So tu is put for emphasis. Indeed, I will tell you. Te means you. And what will I tell you? Guhyatamam, most secret. Why does he talk about that? We'll talk about that. And he says, Pravakshyami. Vakshyami means it's the future tense, I shall speak. Pravakshyami, when he puts the word pra, it means prakarshena vakshyami. I shall tell you very clearly, very precisely, and in perfect detail where it will be very clear to you. Pravakshyami anasuyave. Anasuyave is a beautiful word, where he praises the student. See, the part of the teacher's job is to encourage the student. And he says, why am I sharing this knowledge with you, O student Arjuna? Because you are anasuyave. Anasuyave means one who does not complain, one who does not just criticize. See, some people go to a class with the idea that, you know, I'm going to go and find out what the teacher does not know. Or you go with a fixed attitude. This guy, he's just talking, and I don't think, you know. So it does not mean that you blindly accept everything that you have heard. You know, whatever you have heard from the teacher, whatever you have read in the scriptures, from the commentary, you then think about it, apply it, and then see if that benefits you. But if right away you just reject it, it's all bluff. You know, these scriptures, these guys who wrote it 5,000 years ago, what did they know? Or what did Christ know 2,000 years ago? Right now the world is different. So if right away you're going to reject the teaching, then you have no faith. So here he says, you have faith and you have a willingness to change. You have understood that you are in a problem and you are willing to change and you have approached the teacher. So that's why he calls him anasuyave. That means you are not one who will outrightly reject my teachings. Now what is this knowledge I'm going to give you? Idam, knowledge, what am I giving you? Jnanam. Vijnana sahitam. Jnanam means knowledge. Vijnanam means the practical application. How this knowledge can be applied? Sahitam. So together I'll tell you both. It's not only I'll give you the knowledge. You know, one is that you read the, you know, books of medicine. You just read them mechanically. Another one is that how can I now apply this teaching to the first patient I see? So that is vijnanam, where you then apply that what you have read in the books. When you see a patient, or you know, for an accountant when he's preparing a tax return. So that is called vijnanam, where you have studied something, but now you have to apply that in your life. So he says, jnanam vijnana sahitam yad jnatva. Jnatva means knowing, having known which? Moksha se ashubhat. Moksha se means, again, future, you shall be freed from ashubhat, from all evil. So we'll do one by one. So first, his idea is guhyatamam. I'm going to tell you the most secret. Idam guhyatamam te, to you I will tell. Now, in all languages, we have good, better, and best. You know, big, bigger, and biggest. Small, smaller, and smallest. So one is small. Then there is comparative. Oh, this is smaller than that. And this is the smallest. Or big, bigger, and biggest. So it is the one, then the comparative and the superlative. So in Sanskrit, they also have the same. So here one is guhya. Guhya means secret. Guhyataram, that means more secret. And guhyatamam, most secret. So one is the secret, one is the greater secret, and one is the greatest secret. Now, why does he call it the greatest secret? And this word secret has been so much misused by certain communities in India, where I said that certain communities felt that this only belongs to us. It's a secret. It should not be shared with anybody. And I only should have it. So that has done so much damage to the society, to the culture in India, where a certain group of people felt that religion was only our responsibility and others just have to follow us. They don't need to study that. So when he says it is the most secret, it does not mean that it should not be given. What it means is a secret is a secret until I know it, until a teacher explains it to me, like the law of gravitation. Now, law of gravitation has been there ever since the first planets were created. Sun, moon, and stars were created. Things used to fall to the ground. But people didn't know. You know, they just said, okay, apple fell, falls from the ground, it will hit, you know, down. But Newton was the one who was sitting under the tree and the apple fell on his head. Now he said, why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? And people said, why are you asking this stupid question? He would go around asking everybody, why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? They say, chup chap khale, just eat the apple and forget about it. Why are you keep asking this stupid question? Apples have been falling from thousands of years. Ever since, apples always have been falling. Why do you need to know? He said, no, I want to find out. Why did the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? And so he did the research and he came out with the theory of gravitation, that anything that falls at 32 feet per second, the acceleration, and all those, the Newton's theories of gravitation and motion. So this theory of gravitation was always there, but it needed a master to discover it. It was covered, it was discovered. That's why the word discovery means to uncover it. So the law of gravitation was a secret until Newton came and explained it. So similarly, what it means that this knowledge is a secret, because for us right now, the ninth chapter is a secret because we have not studied it. But once we study it, once we listen to the commentary of Swami Chinmayananda, who will explain it to us, then that secret will no longer be a secret. It will be uncovered. It will be discovered. So that is what he means. And also, the reason he says secret, because the moment you tell somebody, you know, I'm going to tell you a secret, immediately, what is it? You know, person will be jogging, you know, and you say, stop. I don't have time. I have to go jogging. So wait a minute, I'm going to tell you a secret. Secret? Then he immediately will stop. He forget about his jogging. He wants to know. So the moment you say secret, everybody wants, even today's comics, it was this, you know, if you read the Sunday, something like that, it's very funny, where this wife wants to tell her husband, you know, something, and he doesn't want to hear. But the moment she says it's a rumor about somebody, then he becomes, you know, or somebody, you know, you call somebody on the phone and you know, you just start talking. And then suddenly you say, immediately everybody, yeah, let's hear. And then for 45 minutes, you know, you can tell people rumors. Why? Because it is secret. Nobody knows. So that's why it is to get the audience interested. You know, that speaker might say, I went to the talk, audience was not interested. It's not that the audience was not interested, the speaker was not interesting. So here, the teacher is getting the student interested in the knowledge by telling him it is a secret. And it is a secret. For Arjuna, it is a secret because he has not studied yet. Then I said, Pravakshyami, I shall explain to you to one who does not complain. And then he says, Jnanam Vijnana Sahitam, knowledge and its application. And we find that right now, people have the knowledge, but they do not apply that. And the application, where people apply the knowledge, there is great progress. Like we find that in society nowadays, for the last 100 years or since the Industrial Revolution, a lot of emphasis is given to science and technology. Science should be developed. Technology should be developed. Students should be taught science. You know, we get funding for science and NIH and MIT and all these universities, which is good. I'm not saying that anything wrong, but a lot of emphasis is given to science. And the second thing, and that's why art and science and technology are growing very fast. We have computers. We can send now spaceships to distant planets. We can send people into space. And the second emphasis we find too much is on weaponry, you know, making weapons of war, more and more powerful missiles and more powerful. We had atom bombs, then we have hydrogen bombs, then we have neutron bombs, you know. And so much emphasis is being given to science and technology and to make weapons of war. And we find that even small countries, now they want the atomic bomb, Iran, North Korea, you know, countries that should not have it, they are getting it. Why? Because the whole world emphasis is on weapons, how I can make more powerful weapons. And we have so many nuclear weapons that we can destroy this world so many times over and still have them left over. So all our knowledge and all our applications are only in this field of science, technology, weapons, defense. And we find the defense budget is the biggest in every country. It's not only here. And the defense budget cannot be cut. It has to keep on growing. Why? Because we have threat from this terrorist and that neighbor and this, whether it's India and Pakistan or whether it's Israel and Palestine or whether it's US, and constantly we are living in this world. So that's what they say, that not too many people are changing or putting their efforts in the direction of making this world a better place. The knowledge is there, but how many people are applying that, that I should live in love with my neighborhood? Now, there is a lot of, you know, violence in the community and a lot of, you know, robbery and also. What people do, they make better alarms, make more security, increase the police. Yeah, that is all necessary, but better would be if you change the people's minds. So that the cause of the violence, the cause of the stealing, the cause of like the gang warfare that we find in Mexico and LA and all. So you have to work to the cause. You can keep making more and more secure alarms, hire more police and more. But until you change the people's thinking, all these other are just like band-aids. You know, people can always find ways to get over the alarms, to get over the police. So that is what they're saying, that this knowledge of how to improve our life and how to improve the community and how to make people live together is what needs to be spread. So that is why he says jnanam and vijnana sahitam. In the neurology, if you have studied neurology, we have two parts of the brain. We have the left brain and the right brain. Now the left brain has to do with science and, you know, reasoning and thinking and deciding. And we find that in most of us, it is the left brain that we develop, you know, the logic, the thinking, the application, the science. And the right brain that is related to love and intuition and, you know, creative thinking. And very few people develop that creative. If somebody wants to become an artist, we say, if our son wants to, No, there is no money in art. Or, you know, he wants to go into drama or, you know, films or music. Say, no, you, it's not good. You need to study. You need to become an engineer or a doctor. So we neglect that creative part. And within ourselves also, you know, the intuition and the creativity and art and poetry are suppressed. So that's why society is becoming all left-brained. The whole community is becoming left-brained. And that is what the scriptures tell us, that you are two parts. You are also analytical, but you also have this creative and give, you know, if you have art and music, and they also need to be encouraged. So that is what this means, that the knowledge has to be balanced and the society has to be balanced. So that's why he says, jnanam vijnana sahitam yad gyatva moksha se shubhat, knowing which moksha se you shall be liberated. Now somebody asked Swami Ishwarananda, he's my teacher, comes from LA once every few months, and I personally have learned a lot from him. And somebody asked him, what is liberation? What do you mean by liberation? He gave a very beautiful answer. He said, we think of liberation as after death, you know, you become one with God or you go to heaven. You know, we consider that as, oh, he was liberated. Or liberation we think of as, you know, I am free to do whatever I want. You know, we ask teenagers, what is liberation? Oh, I should be free to get up whenever I want. If I want to sleep at 5 a.m., I should be allowed to sleep. Ask them to come from the other side. Udhar se, that door is open. Udhar se aayenge na, to wo khulla hai. Achha, le aayye, par ye wo, Swami ji ka room khulla hai. Haan, rakh de, haan, baad mein haan se. So when we talk about liberation, it says liberation is understanding that I am not this body, mind, and intellect. And I am that consciousness. Because Ashubhat means evil. Right now, we are so caught up in our physical problems. So we are trying to fix our physical problems, take care of our physical problems. I have health problems, financial problems, this, that, you know, position, power. And then I find I've taken care of my physical problems, then suddenly I have mental problems now. I have stress, I have conflict, I have problems at work, problems at family, problems with relationships. So then I try to fix those. And then I have now intellectual problems. I am not successful, and people don't appreciate me, people criticize me, people. So all the time, either I'm trying to fix my physical problems, health, or my emotional problems, or my intellect. So our whole life is spent in only understanding, taking care of, overcoming these. And we have no time to for our spiritual needs. So that can only happen this when you understand that I am that Om, I am that consciousness. And I am that consciousness, and at this moment I'm using this body, mind, and intellect to work in the world. My consciousness is who I am. This body, mind, and intellect is my equipment, and I use this body to work. I use this mind to feel emotions. I use this intellect to think and understand, to decide. And once you live with that, see, one is to mechanically you can say, I am that consciousness. I am not this body, mind, and intellect. We say that, but then the moment I leave out from here, somebody criticizes me, and then I get upset, or a little pain comes, and I get, you know, depressed, I get stressed out. So they say that live as if you are that consciousness. Physical problems will come to you. You will have physical problems. You will have stress and strain. You will have success and failure, praise and blame. But constantly remember that you are that consciousness and live with that understanding. Apply that understanding in your life. And that is liberation. Right now we are under the control of this idea that I am this body, mind, and intellect. So knowing that I am this consciousness and then living in this world, it does not mean that a wise person won't have physical problems, won't have stress, won't have criticism. We find in the lives of all of them, whether it was Mirabai or Tukaram or Jesus or Buddha, they were all criticized, they were all condemned, they were all Guru Nanak, they were all treated badly, all the Sikh gurus. But they, having become one with the Lord, they understood, all of them, that I am that Lord, I am that consciousness, I am that divinity. And no matter what happens to my body, no matter what happens to my mind, no matter what happens to my intellect, I am unaffected. And with that understanding, then when you work in the world, then you can face life's problems. So they say, what is the use of studying this knowledge? Is it going to change my life? It will, because it will make you find, no matter whether things are going well or not. In the Gita, again and again it says, you know, heat and cold, stress and, you know, joy and sorrow, success and failure, they come to everybody, but a wise person can go through life without being too much disturbed. Because that is the benefit of this knowledge, that the problems will come, but if I can remain balanced. That's why in Gita, another place, Sri Krishna says, Samatvam Yoga Muchyate. What is the highest yoga? What is said to be the highest yoga? Samatvam. Remain stable, remain balanced, and watch the life's, you know, life's problems. I think I have given this example before. It's like a lighthouse. Either you can be a lighthouse or you can be a log of wood. Now, a log of wood in life, whatever waves come, the wood is thrown up and down. If the waves are high, he goes up, down, he gets thrown down, and it's constantly ups and downs. But a lighthouse can stay in those same waves, and no matter how heavy or how strong the waves come, the lighthouse remains firm. Not only remains firm, but becomes a light which guides other travelers to the shore. You know, when there is a storm, they use the lighthouse and the light to be guided. So the wise person, the prophet, is like that lighthouse who can go through life's problems without being affected by them and becomes a source of knowledge for others. Most of us live our life like that log of wood, that life, you know, constantly throws me up and down. Somebody praised me, I get happy. Somebody didn't smile at me, I get miserable. Some little, you know, little stock market went down and then people are ready to commit suicide. You know, that's the nature of the stock market. Someday it will be up, someday it will be down. So when we get ourselves so much affected by loss and gain and by success and failure, then that shows that you are not balanced. You do not have that samatvam. So that is the moksha, that is the liberation. Ashubhat means that the idea that I am suffering. And why am I suffering? Because of the wrong knowledge. So he says, I am going to give you that royal secret, that highest knowledge. Another place in the 10th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam. Among all the knowledges, I am the Adhyatma Vidya, the knowledge of the self. What he's saying to say that there are a lot of knowledges in the world. There is a knowledge of physics, and there is knowledge of chemistry and biology and computers and science and medicine and architecture and poetry and music. Yeah, all those knowledges are necessary. But all those knowledges are incomplete until you know who you are. Unless you know who you are, that other knowledges. So the highest knowledge is the knowledge of who you are. And the head of the mission, Swami Tejomayananda, one time told a very funny story. I shall just repeat that. It's very funny about unless you know who you are, the knowledge is useless. So there was this Jawaharlal Nehru, who was the first Prime Minister of India. He was very famous and, you know, he got us freedom. So he was the first Prime Minister. So one time he went to inaugurate a lunatic asylum, you know, place where they have these mental patients, and they had the asylum had been in function for a while, but they had made a brand new huge wing and everything was modern and a very beautiful new building was made. And so he was called to inaugurate it as the Prime Minister. So he went to this place, this mental institution, and he was walking around, and you know, after having cut the ribbon and opened and all, then he was just visiting the inmates who were there in that. And so one person, he goes and he meets him and he shakes his hand. So that person asks him, who are you? So Nehru says, I am Jawaharlal Nehru, Prime Minister of India. So that person says, you'll get all right. When I came here, I also used to say that. When I first came, I also used to think, so don't worry, after you stay here a while, you'll be okay. So the knowledge is useless unless you know who you are. And see, we spend all our life in trying to find out about the world, about things and, you know, objects and things and internet and computer and cell phone and iPad and I this and I that. And we are all the time, you know, looking out in the world, trying to find out everything we want to know about, you know, what is happening in Sudan, and, which is good. I'm not saying that one should not have general knowledge and not know about the world. But we do not have time to understand who am I? What is my real nature? Why am I on this world? Why was I created? What is the purpose of creation? Who is that Lord that created this universe? And how is he in me? And what is my relationship? So that is what this knowledge teaches us. Who am I? Who am I? That is what. And that is what the teacher tells us, that you are that consciousness. And this, that I have to understand. And then once you understand who am I, who is this God, and what is my relationship, tattvamasi, and that thou art, then your then that changes your whole perspective. Yesterday we were in Los Angeles. They had the first anniversary of the mission. The mission has been in function for 30 years, but they had a brand new building. And the head of the mission, the president there, spoke. And he said, the main benefit of this knowledge is that it has changed my perspective of how we deal with circumstances. So that is why studying the Bhagavad Gita and the other scriptural knowledge changes how you approach the world. So that is what he says, yad jnatva mokshase ashubhat, knowing which you shall be free from all problems. The problems will still be there, but you will be free from them. You will not be affected. Because these wise people, you know, there was Raman Maharishi also had cancer. You know, Ramakrishna Paramhans had cancer. But they were above that. They were able to cheerfully watch when even Jesus was being taken. He was not affected. He was fine. He was not even talking about himself. He was able to watch that this body is being crucified. And he said, Father, forgive them. Even at that moment, he was thinking about the people who were persecuting him, because he was not thinking. So that is the glory of this knowledge, that it takes you above these worldly problems. So that is what I have to share about this. Anybody would like to add to this? No, you continue to feel the pain and the stress. But what happens is that suppose you're feeling the pain, right? You have some illness. Now, if you have the pain, we're not saying that you don't go to the doctor. You know, you go to the doctor and you take medicine, you take Tylenol. If you have a headache, you don't say, oh, I am not this consciousness and I'm the consciousness, I'm not this. Oh, if it's very cold, you don't say, I'm not this body and don't wear warm clothes. But having this knowledge, what happens is that, A, when these problems come, you do not get that affected. You know, oh, I have a headache. You know, you don't make the whole house get a headache. You know, that you are able to live more balanced. And then suppose a situation comes where you have a physical problem where there is no cure and you can't, you know, say you, God forbid, you got some illness where you have, you know, constant arthritis or some, you know, illness, or you have a stroke or a cancer or something like that. Then with this knowledge, you understand that it is the nature of the body to get problems. You know, body will continue to have problems. But I do my best to take care of the problem, but if this problem cannot be fixed, then I understand, okay, you know, it is the nature of it. And you just, like they say, now, what cannot be cured must be endured. So with this knowledge, you are able to withstand physical problems, and tomorrow there is a mental stress, and my mind is very upset. Now the stress may be outside, but the disturbance is in my mind, right? My husband didn't talk to me nicely, didn't say good morning, or my boss, or my coworker, or the weather is not good, or the circumstances. Now, you cannot change the weather. You cannot change your husband, or your boss, or your wife, or your child, or your... But what you can do is that the inner disturbance that is there, you have a control over that, right? Now, somebody may try to upset me, but if I let him or her upset me, then... They say, now you have given the key of your happiness to that other person. So anytime he wants, they can turn the key and make you unhappy. Or like they say, the remote control, that you have given your remote control to that person where he can press unhappy and make you unhappy and then press happy and then make you happy. So they say, do not give the remote control of your happiness to somebody else. So with this knowledge, even though somebody else may be criticizing, condemning, not be friendly, but I am okay. I do not let my mind get upset. So by being a witness and watching that by this thing that was said, why did my mind get upset? Why did it get irritated? So by watching, you are actually becoming a witness. So with this understanding that I am that consciousness, you can become a witness, and that's what we practice in meditation. So even though mental stress and strain is there, it is outside. I do not let it come in my mind. And the mind gets disturbed, a person who practices this can very quickly come to the equilibrium, come to the balance. So his mind, instead of going up and down, very quickly can be. So it's not that a wise person doesn't have physical problems, doesn't have emotional, but he does not let them disturb him. And even if the disturbance comes, he or she is very quickly able to. Why? Because he knows that I am that consciousness. And his goal is very clear. He or she, like Mirabai, her goal was very clear. I want to become one with the Lord. And no matter her husband was against her and her in-laws and the whole society condemned her, she didn't care because she, her goal was the Lord himself. So for such a person, a lot of problems will be there. You know, somebody may praise you, somebody may criticize you. You may have success, you may have failure. It doesn't mean that the person doesn't care whether he succeeds or fails. He does his best to do the most successful thing. But despite that, if the activity was not a success, then two things happen. Either he says, well, my effort was not good enough, so I have to do better. Or, you know, it was not meant for me. So he or she can remain balanced in all of life's problems and remain focused on the higher, that ultimately this is not my goal. My goal is spiritual unfoldment. When your goal is clear and your understanding is clear, then life's ups and downs do not affect you that much. It's not that you don't feel the pain, but you can accept that pain much better. I'm not ready to consume you, right? Take the medicine and then say, okay, it's the nature of the body. You know, it's bound. Body is going to get old. One day it's going to start having problems, and you accept that better. Yeah, I think there is a fine line. You know, like when you're ill, you definitely go to the doctor and try to get well. But say if you have been to one or two doctors and whom somebody you trust, and he or she has told you this is a terminal illness, then instead of again going to a third and fourth and a fifth and wasting your time and money and effort, you may then say, okay, I have only 6 months to live. So maybe let me spend these last 6 months of my life remembering the Lord and praying and, you know, and meditating and reading and all. And it doesn't mean that you have to suffer. You can take pain medicine and whatever, all that. But the idea is that it is a fine line. And same thing in activity, whether if I'm successful. Say if I failed, that doesn't mean that you say, oh, I was meant to fail and forget about it. No, don't say that you should not do your best. You do your best. You put in your best effort, but at the end, there are many other factors. See, the activity is in your hand. The result is not in your hand. It's like eight people are running in the Olympics in the 100 meters. Now, all eight are very well trained. All eight have put their best effort. All eight are working their best, but only one of them gets the gold medal. The one who was the best prepared, or the one who had did well on that day, or for whatever reason. So the other seven, if they take a gun and shoot themselves, then, you know, it doesn't make sense. So what they have to say is that, why did this person succeed and why did I not get the gold medal? Maybe in the next Olympics, 4 years from now, if I do better, if I train better. So he or she should try their best, but also should understand that there ultimately only one can be successful. So I put my best effort and it was not good enough. The other person was better. So you accept that and then you keep on doing better. But at the same time, you do not get so depressed. And then it may be that was his last Olympics. He cannot anymore train. So he can understand, okay, I did my best. At least I went to the Olympics. I was the top eight in the whole world. Out of so many, you know, 6 billion people or 4 or 6 billion, I was one out of the eight. So, you know, it's a glory by itself. So there is a fine line, and one has to, but ultimately one has to be contented. That is, contentment is the key. Unless you are contented, you will be always miserable. Again, we are not saying that you don't work hard, you know, but at the end of the day, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, Lord, whatever you have given me, I am happy and I am contented. That contentment should come while you are doing the effort. So they say the effort is in your hand, the result is not. In the third chapter, he says that you do your best and then leave the results to him. You can say to him or to society, because the result has so many other factors. You know, the other people and whether other people collaborated with me or cooperated with me, and, you know, providence or nature or all those things. So. Like, you may plant the crop, one person's crop may grow, another one may not. You know, so a lot of factors in that. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ही ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ही ओम।